Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In the April 2017 edition of Ensign Magazine, Elder Larry R. Lawrence, who is a 70 in the Mormon Church, wrote an article called The War Goes On. It begins on page 33 in Ensign, and he lists several strategies that he attributes to Satan. He calls them Satan's strategies. We're going to be looking at one of those strategies that he believes is from Satan, and that is contention. Is contention always wrong? Now, to listen to Mr. Lawrence, you would assume it probably is always wrong to be contentious, but does the Bible support that type of a conclusion? I would say no. According to Jude 3, what does it say, Eric, that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith, are we not?
Right. And in fact, in the English Standard Version, it says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Notice how he says, "I found it necessary," because there are times where you have to bring up issues that we're going to disagree on, and there's going to have to be some contention.
And that's basically what contention is. It's the coming together of two different ideas. Now, there's a way to express that contention. And certainly, we as Christians, we're not supposed to be, in my opinion, having conversations where the veins in our necks are popping out or things like that. We're not to be angry at the individual, though we may disagree with the position that they hold. Now, Mr. Lawrence is going to address this. But I think he goes way too far in trying to say that contention in all areas is absolutely wrong and not of God. What does he say?
On page 37 of the April 2017 Ensign, under the section of contention, number 3, Satan is the father of contention. The Savior teaches, quote, "He stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger, one with another," end quote. And that's from 3 Nephi 11:29.
Now, he's quoting from the Book of Mormon, and this is one of those areas where I probably wouldn't have a disagreement in principle with what the Book of Mormon is saying here, because in context, what is being discussed? It says, "He stirreth up the heart of men to contend with anger." Now, Jesus certainly had anger at times, but he was sinless, so we have to assume his anger was a righteous anger. And I know many times Christians like to excuse their behavior by saying it's a righteous anger, but could we say for a surety that's always the way it is? It's often very difficult to get angry without having some amount of flesh in you that's coming out. So again, folks, let's look at the context here. This is talking about contending with anger. Then he goes on.
The devil has learned from centuries of experience that where there is contention, the Spirit of the Lord will depart.
Well, let me stop you there, Eric, because he is saying where there is contention, the Spirit of the Lord will depart. We just cited Jude 3, where he said that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Now, based on what Mr. Lawrence has said so far, are we to assume that Jude was giving advice that did not have the Spirit of the Lord behind it?
Let me give you a citation from 4th President Wilford Woodruff in the January 2006 Ensign Magazine on page 20. And this is an article that's titled, "Wilford Woodruff Contending for the Faith." This is what he says. "My friends, will you tell me why you don't contend for the faith once delivered to the saints? Will you tell me why you don't contend for that gospel that Jesus Christ taught and that his apostles taught?"
So it's certainly okay to contend for the faith, which is what Jude 3 was saying and what was being said in the reference that you just gave. So obviously, all types of contention aren't wrong. It's really more in how you contend, I would assume, rather than the contending itself. Because remember, folks, we cannot ignore the fact that contention in and of itself usually comes about when you have two individuals with diverse opinions. That's what life is all about. But yet, we're going to see in this article that we can't really even disagree with leaders in the Mormon church or doctrines in the Mormon church or anything without being accused by a guy like Mr. Lawrence of being erroneously contentious. And I just don't agree with that conclusion.
And I find it to be disingenuous when you say that there should not be contention by telling people that you should not contend and telling us that we shouldn't contend. Isn't that kind of self-defeating? Because in a sense, you're making a contention for your faith. He goes on and says, Satan loves to spread contention in the church, and that's capital C church.
So that's got to be the Mormon church that he's referring to.
He specializes in pointing out the faults of church leaders. Joseph Smith warned the saints that the beginning step to apostasy is to lose confidence in the leaders of the church.
So let me ask you, based on what he just said there, was the Apostle Paul being used by Satan when he confronted the Apostle Peter of Peter's hypocrisy with the Gentiles found in Galatians 2:11? Based on what Mr. Lawrence is saying here, we could draw that conclusion that Paul was somehow wrong in doing so.
Let's read that passage because I think it's a good passage based on what we're talking about. Galatians 2:11 through 14 says, "But when Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, quote, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?"
Now, we know that Paul was absolutely in the right in doing so, and we have no evidence whatsoever to show that somebody left the church because of what Paul said about Peter, or that it even affected Peter's walk with the Lord. Obviously, Peter got over it, but here's the point we're trying to make. It's not absolutely incorrect to bring out faults, even in leaders. If it's accurate, then shouldn't it be brought up, or should it be ignored, as it seems that Mr. Lawrence is implying here?
Now, Peter could have had a chip on his shoulder and said, I don't want to listen to you young guy who has just been Johnny come lately when I was with Jesus from the very beginning. But we see in Acts chapter 15, when they had the council in Jerusalem, that there was a reconciliation and Peter went along with it. And then in his second Peter epistle in chapter 3, he writes this, verse 15, count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Here you have Peter saying Paul knew what he was talking about and actually likened what he had written as scripture.
Well, this article goes on to say that almost all anti-Mormon literature is based on lies about the character of Joseph Smith. Interesting how he uses the word almost. So my question would be, well, what percentage of that information that is found in what he calls anti-Mormon, and really, what does that even mean? Are you really implying, Mr. Lawrence, that because we say things critical of the Mormon church or have written things that are critical of the Mormon church, that we're really against Mormons? Is that what you're really implying, that we're against Mormons because we do that? Because that would certainly be an unfair accusation, though we would readily admit that we are against Mormonism because we believe that its principal tenets are false, erroneous, and leading people away from biblical truth. But when he says almost all anti-Mormon literature is based on lies about the character of Joseph Smith, I wish he would have been more precise and explained to us what he thought was anti-Mormon, that was a lie about the character of Joseph Smith. Now, there's no doubt a lot of things circulating out there about Joseph Smith that you would probably have some difficulty proving. But if a person is getting their information from a Mormon source about Joseph Smith, would that be considered anti-Mormon? Now, you and I earlier, before we started recording, were looking at some of the things that were written in the book Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling. And Richard L. Bushman, who is a faithful Latter-day Saint, was very honest in some of the things that he said about Joseph Smith that would probably offend a lot of faithful believers in the prophet Joseph Smith, as they understand him to be. If an individual was to read that, would that be considered of the devil? Or does he at least credit Mr. Bushman for being honest about what he's reporting?
And when you think about what the LDS Church has done in the Gospel Topics essays and the things that have been written, where many Latter-day Saints did not know the information before. For instance, how many Latter-day Saints really knew that Joseph Smith used a seer stone, a magic stone, and put it into a hat and looked into his hat, and that's how he came up with the Book of Mormon translation? And when they found that out, along with other information that was put out in these essays, they had a faith crisis, because now they were being told by their church things that the quote-unquote antis had been saying all along.
And that's a good point that you bring out. And I do remember when those Gospel Topics essays started being posted on LDS.org, and that was towards the end of 2013, is when they started coming out, there were a lot of people who had heard about them and thought for sure that, one, either the person was quoting something from an anti-Mormon source, or I even know of one case where a person thought that LDS.org, the Mormon Church website, had been hacked. Now, obviously, when he was looking at some of this information that was coming out of the Mormon Church, it bothered him. But could you call it anti-Mormon? Because it might cause somebody to have, as you said, a lack of confidence in the leaders of the church once they see another side of them that they had never heard before. How good is it to only hear one side of the story, especially when it comes to controversial figures such as Joseph Smith? Don't you think it would behoove the honest person to want to at least find out about the other side? Now, Mr. Lawrence is going to talk about that, and he's going to tell a story of when he was younger, how he went to a library to read about Joseph Smith. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about that experience that Mr. Lawrence had, and we're going to critique some of the things that he says about it. So we hope that you'll join us for tomorrow's broadcast.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.